Today's daf is Bava Kama daf Chav Vav. We are holding on the bottom of daf Chav Hey Amud Beis. We are at the last skinny line on daf Chav Hey Amud Beis. The Gemara is about to suggest five different Kal V'chomers to change all of Hilchos Nezikin. Meaning, we spent yesterday discussing the limitations of Kal V'chomer and Dayo, so now we're going to suggest that there should be five different changes in the basic halachos of Nezikin. What's Chayiv in terms of Keren, in terms of Shein, Regel, all these other things, based on a variety of Kal V'chomers. Then the Gemara is going to try to prove that there's a Chiyuv Kofer, there's a Kofer payment for Nizke Regel. That Kofer is not only when an ox gores and kills, but even if it kills with Regel, that there's going to be a Kofer for payment, that the Gemara is going to successfully prove that. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about Nizkei Adam, how Adam is Mor V'Olam, that a person who damages is always going to be Chayiv for his damages. The Gemara is going to show the source that Adam HaMazik is Chayiv even if he damages B'Shogeg, and then the Gemara is going to bring four different cases where a person has a lack of Kavanah to damage, and the damage somehow happens with a rock that falls out of his lap or something. Four different cases, and it's going to discuss how that plays out in terms of Dinei Nezikin, in terms of paying for Dalet Dvarim, Nezik Sarif for Shabbos Boshes, in terms of being Chayiv and Shabbos, if a person is Mechal Shabbos in that way, in terms of being Chayiv Golos, if a person kills someone by accident in that way, and in terms of an Eved, if a person knocks out his Eved's eye in that way, does the Eved go free? And then the Perek is going to conclude, starting at the bottom of Chav Vav and Beis, going to the middle of Chav Zayin and Aleph, with different statements of Rabbah, six different statements of Rabbah, most of which are about things being thrown off of a roof and somehow either causing damage or being damaged or someone on the bottom doing something. So that's how the parak is going to end. So let's begin at the last skinny line on Daf Chav Hey Amud Beis. Says Gemara, Kal V'chomer number one that we want to suggest. V'tei Shein V'regel Chayiv B'Rishus Rabbim Mikal V'chomer. Shein and Regel should be Chayiv even in Rishus Rabbim based on the following Kal V'chomer. If Keren, which in Rosh Hashanah is only Chayiv Chatzi Nezek, nevertheless in Rosh Hashanah is only Chayiv Chatzi Nezek, and Rosh Hashanah Rabim is going to be Chayiv as well, Shein V'Regel, so Shein and Regel, which is Chayiv Nezek Shalem in Rosh Hashanah, Ein Odin, Shein Rosh Hashanah Rabim Chayiv, all the more so should be Chayiv in Rosh Hashanah Rabim. We see it's stricter in the Rishus HaNizik, so it should be at least as strict as Keren in a Rishus HaRabim. So that's the Kal V'chomer. Asks the Shita Mekubetzas, that Kal V'chomer is a problematic Kal V'chomer, because how can you say Kal V'chomer from Keren to Shein V'Regel that it should have to pay in Rishus HaRabim? There's a simple pirch on the Kal V'chomer. By Keren, you pay in Rishus HaRabim because Keren is Chomer in that it pays Kofer. Regel, there is no Chiyuv Kofer. So maybe that's why it doesn't pay Rishus HaRabim. Regel, in that sense, is more lenient. So the Shittim Gubetzah suggests that we could prove from Adam Ve'esh that there are Chayiv Rishus Rabim even though there's no Chiyuv Kofer. So Shein Regel also maybe should be Chayiv Rishus Rabim even though there's no Chiyuv Kofer. But anyway, that's what the Gemara suggested Kal V'chomer, that Shein and Regel should be Chayiv even in Rishus Rabim. Says Gemara, no, it's Gzeres HaKasav. Amakra, Ubir B'stei Acher. When it describes Niske Shein Regel, it says you go on someone else's property, V'lo B'Rishus Rabim, not if it's in Rishus Rabim. In Rishus Rabim, there is no Chiyuv of Shein V'Regel. We're not suggesting that you should pay Nezek Shalem for Shein V'Regel B'Rishus Rabim. We're only suggesting to pay Chatzi Nezek. Ubir B'Steyacher was talking about paying Nezek Shalem. So you're right. Nezek Shalem is only going to be B'Steyacher. But maybe in Rishus Rabim, you should at least pay Chatzi Nezek for Shein V'Regel. That the Pasuk says by Keren that you pay half. And we darshan, yeah, when do you pay half? For Keren. Only for Keren. By Shein V'Regel, there's no such thing as paying half. And therefore, you can't pay full for Shein V'Regel and Rishus Rabim because of Bir B'Stei Acher. You can't pay half for Shein V'Regel ever because we have a Pasuk by Keren, V'Chitzas Kaspo. So the only possibility we're left with for Shein V'Regel and Rishus Rabim is to pay nothing, is that Shein V'Regel is Pater and Rishus Rabim. Okay, a second suggested Kal V'Chomer. Frek the Gemara, V'lote Shein V'Regel Chayavis B'Rishus Nizek El Chatzi Nezek Mikal V'Chomer Mikeren. We should say that Shein and Regel, even in Rishus HaNizik, only has to pay chatzi nezek, not nezek shalim, and we should derive that from a kal v'chomer from keren. Now we're going to be making the assumption that we paskin like the rabbanan that keren bereshus hanizik also pays chatzi nezek. That keren does not get elevated to nezek shalim like Rabbi Tarfon held in a reshus hanizik. We're going to assume that keren in reshus hanizik is only chatzi nezek. So let's say the following kal v'chomer. Uma keren shor bereshus ram chayeves bereshus hanizik ein mishlam esel chatzi nezek. If keren, which is even chayev in reshus harabim to pay chatzi nezek, so and yet in reshus hanizik all it pays is chatzi nezek and not more. Shein v'regel shor bereshus ram betura. Shein v'regel, which is totally patur in reshus harabim, should pay at least as much in reshus hanizik. Eidu din shor bereshus hanizik mishalim chatzi nezek. All the more so should have to pay. Not at least as much. Shein v'regel that a patur in reshus harabim should pay no more than Karen has to pay in a Rosh Hashanizik. Karen pays only Chatzin Nezik in a Rosh Hashanizik. Say no Din Shem Rosh Hashanizik Mishalim Chatzin Nezik. Shane Bregel also should have to pay no more than Chatzin Nezik in a Rosh Hashanizik. After all, in a Rosh Hasharabim, Karen pays more than Shane Bregel. So how could it be that in a Rosh Hashanizik, Shane Bregel is going to pay more than Karen? It doesn't make any sense. The Kal V'chomer should limit Shane Bregel to Chatzin Nezik. Tosfos raises the question, what's the Gemara saying? We should learn Kal V'chomer from Karen to teach that Shane Bregel pay only Chatzin Nezek. There's a major pircha on the Kal V'chomer that Dafka Karen pays Chatzin Nezek because it's Einu Mishtalem Eselem Migufo. The din by Karen is it only pays Migufo, a short time only pays Migufo for Karen, only pays up until its own value. Regel is Mishalim Min Aliyah, so maybe because Regel is Mishalim Min Aliyah, we see that Regel has more significant payments, meaning you're trying to establish that Karen is more strict than Shane Bregel because Karen is Chayv Rosh Hashanah and Shane Bregel is not. I'll tell you, Shane Bregel is more strict than Karen because Shane Bregel is Chayv Min Aliyah and Karen is not Chayv Min Aliyah. So Tos suggests that we could be Mochiach from Tzroros. Tzroros pays only Chatzin Nezek even though there it's Mishalim Min Aliyah. So by Shane Bregel also, it could be that there's such a thing as being Mishalim Min Aliyah even though it's only a Chatzin Nezek. That you have it by Tzroros, maybe that's what the Gemara is suggesting. We should have the same thing by Shane Bregel. Says the Gemara, no, Amar Kra Yishalem, Tashlum Min Ma'al. Pazik says Yishalem, that a Shein V'regel and Rosh Hashanizik is Yishalem. That means Tashlum Malia, that means full payment, no partial payments. A third suggested Kal V'chomer. Velote Karen B'Shusram Chayiv Mi Kal V'chomer. Karen should be totally potter in Rosh Hashanizik from the following Kal V'chomer. Uma Shein V'regel Shur B'Shus Hashanizik Nezik Shalim B'Rosh Hashanizik Petura. If Shein V'regel, which when it's done in Rosh Hashanizik has to pay full damages, yet you move it to Rosh Hashanizik, all of a sudden it's totally potter. Karen should be Rishus HaNizik Chatzi Nezek. Karen, which only has to pay Chatzi Nezek in Rishus HaNizik, say no din should be Rishus HaN Petura. All the more so should be Pater once you transfer that to Rishus HaRabim. So it says, Mar Amar B'Yochan, Amar Kra, Yechatzun. That we have a drasha that the din of Karen paying Chatzin Nezek applies everywhere. It applies in Rosh Hashanizik, it applies in Rosh Hashanizik. That's the din of Chatzin Nezek. The Sefer Torah Chayim, the Achron, raises the question, how could the Gemara say that we should learn a Kal V'chomer to pater Karen Rosh Hashanizik? Our Gemara is assuming like the sheet of the Chachamim in our Mishnah, that's Mechayiv Karen Rosh Hashanizik Chatzin Nezek. And according to the Chachamim, we have a rule of Dayu Labam and Adin, that even if the Kal V'chomer would be batel by applying Dayo, we still apply Dayo. That was the sheet of the Chachamim. That we're always going to be limited to Dayo. So what's the Gemara trying to say over here? If Karen only pays Chatzin Nezek in Rosh Hashanizik, then Kal V'chomer should pay nothing in Rosh Hasharabim? You're trying to derive from what it pays in Rosh Hashanizik, so you should say it pays Chatzi Nezek for Rosh Hasharabim, which ain't a chinami, which would destroy the whole Kal V'chomer. But that's okay. With the Chum say that we apply Dayo even when it destroys the whole Kal V'chomer. That's what we learned yesterday. So that's a very strong kasha. It seems a little bit backwards. I mean, normally Dayo is to limit the Chumra. Over here, it's limiting the Kula. We're saying that don't go more Mekil than Chatzin Nezek to go down to zero, but L'chumra, it still works. It should still be a Dayo. So it's a very strong kasha. So Gemara says, he wants to suggest that maybe on that while we're holding like Rabbi Tarf, like the Chachamim, that you pay Chatzin Nezek for Karen B'Rishus HaNizek, we're we're holding like Rabbi Tarfon in terms of how you apply Dayo. That's very dachuk. Do we ever find anyone that does that, that splits the psak like that? That's very difficult. The kasha is better than the teretz. Says more further, a fourth suggestion, kal v'chomer. The adam chayiv b'kofer mikal v'chomer. A person should have to pay kofer based on the following kal v'chomer. Umashor sheinu chayiv v'arba dvarim chayiv b'kofer. A shor who's not chayiv in dal dvarim, meaning a shor damages a person, has to pay for the damages, but the owner of the shor has to pay for the damages, but not for tsar, ripoy, sheves, boshes, none of that. And nevertheless, does have to pay kofar if it kills a person. There is a kofar payment if the shor kills a person. Adam shechayiv barba advarim. A person who damages another person who's chayiv in dal advarim. So then, all the more so, einu din shechayiv b'kofar. All the more so, the adam amazik should be chayiv kofar. The adam that's horeg should be chayiv kofar. The person that kills should be chayiv kofar. Says Mar Amakra, kikala shor yushas alav. Alav v'lo al adam. No, the pasuk says by a shor that kills that you pay the kofar asher yushas alav. So we darshin, yes, kofar is something that's alav, that's on a shor, but kofar is not an assessment, it's not a payment that's assessed to a person who kills, only to an animal who kills. So the Rishonim all ask the Kasha, what's the Gemara even suggesting over here? That a person who murders somebody else should have to pay money, should have to pay kofar? Very fundamental rule. Kam lei b'drabe minei. Whenever you chayiv misa, you're not going to have to be chayiv a payment. So how can we suggest that the guy is going to be chayiv misa for killing the guy, killing someone else, b'mezid, and then he's going to be chayiv kofar also? Well, forget any kal v'chomer. It's just against the rules. There's no such thing as kam le'bidramine. It would preclude the possibility. So Rashi over here already deals with it. And Rashi says, now the case is that the guy killed b'mezid, but without asra'a. Meaning, if it weren't b'mezid, then there wouldn't be no kofar. Kofar is only when he kills b'mezid. But it was b'mezid, but without asra'a. So he's not going to be chayiv misa. He's not going to be chayiv galus. There was no asra'a. There was nothing. So it was b'mezid, so he can't be chayiv galus. Is without asra, he can't be chayiv misa. So mainly you could assess a monetary payment that he's going to have to make. Tosus in Dibra Maskel Ve'yehe says that the case is to be mechayiv in misa and tashlum and ke'echad, and we don't say kam le'bidrab minei over here. And he explains that when the Torah says k'dei rishaso, and the Gemara darshins mishum risha achas hatam mechayiv v'yitam mechayiv mishum shtei rishayo, so you can't assess a person two separate punishments, that only means that you can't give a person malkus and mamon at the same time. But misa and mamon, that you could do. To punish a person with misa and mamon, that you're allowed to do. A great chiddush that Tosa says, that kam le'bidrab minei is not going to apply to misa and mamon. The Rashba writes, he quotes Yesh Misha Piresh, that the sugya is talking about when you kill someone shalob kavana, where you're not going to be chayiv misa, so that's why you'd be chayiv mamon based on the kal v'chomer. Tos Rabbeinu Peretz suggests that the case is that the person's paying kofar even though he's getting killed, because kam le'bidrab minei, he suggests another great chiddush in kam le'bidrab minei. That's only, kam le'bidrab minei is only when the chiyuv mamon is really separate from the chiyuv misa. What's the case? Kam le'bidrab minei, you shoot an arrow at a person and kill him, so the arrow not only killed him, it also ripped his shirt. So you're not going to have to pay for the shirt because you're already getting killed. So really the payment for the shirt has nothing to do with his death. Let's say he would have ripped his shirt and not killed him. So that's a totally separate payment. Kofar, you would never be chayiv kofar unless you killed him. So it's one and the same. It's that the punishment is an elevated punishment. It's not just misa. It's the punishment for this one crime would have been misa plus kofar, if not for the drasha of alav. It would have been misa plus kofar. So then we don't say kam le'bidrab minei. Beis Halevi, however, raises a very interesting question. The Beis Halevi in Chelek Aleph Siman Lamed Zayin, how does the Gemara say that we should darshan a kal v'chomer to be mechayiv a person kofar? There is a shita that the Gemara is going to have in Daf Mem, that kufra kapara, that kofar is a kapara payment. So then you can't say this kal v'chomer, because Adam is more chamur than shor, so maybe the kapara does not suffice for him. If kofar is supposed to provide a person, provide kapara, so when your shor kills a person, the way you achieve kapara is by making the kofar payment. If you kill a person, maybe you don't deserve a kapara just by paying the kofar. So Beis Halevi suggests now that the kofar is a chiv mamon, that maybe our Gemara is only assuming the kufra mamona, like that the kofar is a chiv mamon and not a kapara payment. And the shita that holds the kofar is kapara, Gemara, you need a love of all Adam to pater him from Kofar, because we would have thought that Yechiv Kofar, that Yechiv Kofar based on another Rashi that comes up later on in the Gemara, that Bar is pater from Kofar because Shor v'lo Adam. So basically he says maybe this whole Gemara is only assuming Kofra Mamona, not Kofra Kapara. Others suggest, the Padam Yafos suggest, that the Gemara is saying that you should be Chayiv Misa and Kofar together, and you're getting the Kapara. You're getting Kapara through your Misa. The Kofar payment's not going to be what gives you your Kapara, but it's the Misa that's going to give the person the Kapara. Okay, says Gemara, a fifth Kal V'chomer. V'yeshor Chayiv Barba Dvar Mikal V'chomer. Maybe we should say a Shor that damages should be Chayiv in Dalet Dvarim from a Kal V'chomer. Rishonim point out that a shor, it's not even on the table to suggest that a shor will be chayiv in boshes. We mean nezek, tsar, ripoy, and sheves. But boshes is only when you have kavana to be mevayesh. A shor obviously has no kavana to embarrass, doesn't understand the whole concept of busha. But that's what we're suggesting. At least the other dalet dvarim, that the shor should be chayiv based on a Kal V'chomer. Uma adam sheinu chayiv b'kofer chayiv barba dvarim. If a person who is not chayiv in kofer, nevertheless is still chayiv in dal dvarim, shor shechayiv b'kofer and adin shei chayiv barba dvarim. A shor who is chayiv in kofer, all the more so, should be chayiv in dal dvarim. Says Marno, Amar kra ish ba'amito velo shor ba'amito. When it talks about dal dvarim, Pasuk says ish ba'amito, so we darshan, yeah, an ish is chayiv dal dvarim, but not a shor. So that's the end of the Kal V'chomer. Now the Gemara says, once we're on the topic of kofer, what about the following? We know that if a shor gores someone and kills him, that the owner of that shor has to pay kofer. Ibailu regel shedar sal gabe tinok bechatzar anizik maushet shalim kofer. What if an animal is walking? It trespasses into a chatzar anizik and it walks and it tramples on a baby, rachman alitzlan, kills the baby. Does the owner of that shor have to pay kofer for regel? Mi amrin midedav akeren. Do we say, well, let's compare it to Karen. Karen, kiven David treyatos azimni orchei umeshalim kofer, hachinami lo shna. Just like a Karen that's a muad has to pay kofer, so too of year. Regel is always a muad. A regel is muad meyakara to walk normally, so it also would have to pay kofer. Oduma Karen kavanos lahazik, haye in kavanos lahazik. Or no, maybe no. Maybe the whole reason you would pay kofer by Karen is because it has kavana to damage. But over here, there's no kavanos lahazik, and therefore there would be no kofer payment. Tasha Magmar says, let's bring a raya. A person brings his shor into a chatzar balabais, shalo bershus, trespasses without permission. V'nagcha lebalabais, and it gores the balabais, v'meis, and the guy dies. Hashor b'skila, the shor is going to get skila. Uba'alav, the owner of the shor, bein tam bein mu'ar mishalim kofar, whether the shor was a tam or a mu'ar is going to pay kofar. Kofar shalim, div Rabbi Tarfon, that's Rabbi Tarfon's shita. Kofar shalim b'tam, the Rabbi Tarfon minale. Where does Rabbi Tarfon get the idea that you're paying kofar shalim even though the animal was a tam and was not a mu'ad? Lav mishum desavlek Rabbi Yosi aglili damer tam mishalem chatzi kofer bershus harabim. Isn't it because he assumes, like Rabbi Yosi aglili, that a tam normally in a rishus harabim would pay chatzi kofer, and then he says, oh, so in a rishus hanizik, if umaisi lo mikal v'chomer mi regel, in a rishus hanizik, if an animal were to kill with regel, it would pay kofer shalem. So if it kills with keren, we'll also pay kofer shalem in a rishus hanizik. So that's where he gets the idea of kofar shalim for a short time in Rosh Hashanah. Alma, ika kofar bregel. So apparently the whole basis of that limud is working with the assumption that there's a kofar payment for regel in Rosh Hashanah. So you see, it's a raya that there's kofar for a regel in Rosh Hashanah. Says Gemara, how do you know that that's where he's deriving it from? All he said was that if a short time kills with goring in a Rosh Hashanah, that it pays kofar shalim. How do you know that that's being derived from regel? Amar of Simon Arda, Tanamin is Zikin de regel maisila. Maybe it's not from kofar of regel that we're learning it out from, but it's from Nizikin of regel that we're learning it out from. Meaning, as Rashi explains, what Rabbi Tarfon is saying is, if regel in Rosh Hashanah is potter from paying any nezek, and nevertheless in Rosh Hashanah pays nezek shalim, Karen, which in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim pays Chatzi Kofer, if for sure in Rosh Hashanah Nizik should have to pay Kofer Shalem. So it has nothing to do with Kofer of Regel. It has to do that we're deriving it from Nezek of Regel, from regular Nizikin of Regel. The Lifrach says, no, but you could ask him that Malin Nizakin de Regel, Shken Yeshen Be'esh. You can't derive from Nizakin of Regel, because Nizakin of Regel is Yeshen Be'esh. Kofer is Eino Be'esh. So you can't learn one from the other. other. Says the Gemara, mitamun. No, but we could, but you could learn from something that's hidden away, because tamun is pater be'esha, nevertheless is chayiv in regal, meaning if an animal walks on something that's hidden, that's not visible to the naked eye, it's still going to be chayiv. But by esh, it's pater. So the drasha would work as follows: if a regal in Rishus HaRabim is totally pater, nevertheless is chayiv Rishus HaNizik, even on tamun, it's chayiv in Rishus HaNizik, nezik shalem. Karen, which in Rosh Hashanah pays chatzi kofar, in Rosh Hashanah Nizik should have to pay a kofar shalem. Says Gemara, no, but you can't learn from Tamun, Malo Tamish Ken Yeshna Vibar, because Tamun is something that if that you're chayiv in a bar, even though it's pater by Eish, it's chayiv in a bar. Says Gemara, mi Kalim, but we learn from Kalim. Kalim is pater in a bar, but Malo Kalim Shi Yeshna Be'esh, but Kalim are chayiv in an Eish, mi Kalim Tmunim. But what if you have Kalim that are hidden? So there would be no chayiv midin bar, there would be no chayiv midin Eish, because Kalim are pater in a bar, Tamun is pater from Eish, and then you can learn it straight from Regal. But kelim tumunim are your chayiv even by an adam amazik. Elav shramina mikofer the regal maisila. So it can't be that we're deriving it straight from the nezikin of regal. It has to be that we derive it from kofer de regal. Alma iko kofer beregal. So we see bottom line that there is such a thing as kofer beregal, that if an animal walks into someone else's property, steps on a baby and kills it, the animal is going to have to pay kofer shramina. Amalei ravachim yidivti the ravina achinam mistaver diko kofer beregal. It makes sense to assume that there's kofer beregal. Because if you want to say there's no kofar beregel, and we're only deriving all of this from nizakin of regel, lifroch mal nizakin deregel shekein yeshnan beregel. You could ask on that kal v'chomer that by kofar of that nizakin of regel applied by regel as opposed to kofar, which is eno beregel. Elav shmaminom mikofar deregel ma'isila. It's not from nizakin of regel. It must be from kofar of regel, and kofar of regel must actually exist. Alma iko kofar beregel shmamina. So there must be such a din of kofar by regel. That's the Gemara's conclusion. Now there is a machlokus rishonim. This chiyuv that we just invented, or we've just established, of kofar by regel, is it a muad mitchilaso and it's chayiv even on the first time, or is the chiyuv only after it does it three times that it's going to be chayiv kofar and regel? From Tosos and Daf Mem Dalid Amar Aleph, Dibra Maskel Vaha, the second Dibra Maskel Vaha, it sounds that it's muad mitchilaso, you chayiv kofar and regel even on the first time. That's what it sounds like from the Rambam in Nizke Mamun Parak Yud Alach Yud Gimel as well. He writes, Behema Shenichnas El Chatzar Anizik Vidorsal Gabetino Kederech Hilucha Vargoso Habayla Mishalman Asa Kofer Sharegel Muadis Hazik Bederech Hilucha. Sounds like even the first time. Nez doesn't make any mention that it has to be the third time around. However, the Rashba writes in the name of the Raivid that it only pays Kofer after three times. And the Rashba proves it from the Lashon of the Gemara that Keren Kivan Da'ava Treyu Tlasas Zimni urchihu mishalim kofer hani nami loshna. The Gemara says that Keren, since it does it two or three times, it makes it normal, so it pays kofer. So over here also, it's going to pay kofer. Sounds like we're learning the chi of regel from the chi of Keren directly. That just like Keren is only once it becomes a muad, so too the chi of kofer by regel is also only once it becomes a muad. Now it's interesting. Normally, when an animal kills a person, the animal's chayv skila. You got to kill the animal. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz points out over here the Gemara comes to the conclusion that there's a chiv kofar beregel. Now the animal didn't have any kavana lahazik by regel; it was just walking. There was a baby there, but it didn't notice. It was just wasn't trying to hurt the baby. It was just walking. That's very different than Keren. Keren is kavanas lahazik. So normally, but an animal kills, we're talking in terms of Keren. So we say we kill the animal. What if an animal kills beregel? It's just walking. It has no kavana lahazik. So Rabbeinu Peretz writes, even though there is a kofar, you don't kill the animal because it had no kavanas lazik. And the chiluk is that when it comes to tashlumen, which is chiv on the bailim, you can't be mechalik between a keren muad and a regel. That both of them are dark and bekach, and therefore you can pay kofar even though the regel is not kavanas lazik. But the chiv misa on the shor, since it's not kavanas lazik, you're not gonna kill the shor, which is interesting because Rabbeinu Peretz apparently seems to understand the chiv misa on the shor as a punishment for the shor, which is a chiddush because the chiv misa of the shor is a punishment for the Bailim, that you're killing his shar. I mean, it's not Misa on the shar, it's that you're destroying his property. The shar is his property, and you're killing the shar. Rabbeinu Peretz says, no, it's not fair, you're going to punish the shar. All he was walking. He's not a dangerous shar, he was just walking. So you wouldn't be Mechayev the shar. That's the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Peretz. Okay, new Mishnah. Adam u'aliyolam. An Adam is always considered mu'ad. Adam ha'mazik, you're always chayiv. Bein shogig, bein mezid, bein er, bein yashan. Whether you're asleep, you're awake, you're shogig, you're mezid, you do damage, you're going to be chayiv to pay. Simei ha'sein chaveiro v'shibir ha'sakelim v'shalim nezik shalim. You blind someone's eye, you break his kelim. Doesn't matter how you did it, why you did it, you're always going to be chayiv nezik shalim. Now the Rishonim all quote from Yerushalmi, that's mechalik about a sleeping person, that it's dafka if they were both sleeping, then you're mechayiv tashlumin for the mazik. But let's say a person was sleeping all alone, and someone else comes and sleeps right next to him. And he had no idea. The first guy was sleeping. He had no idea someone came. Or puts down a kli, a fragile kli, right next to him. So says Yerushalmi, if he rolls over and he breaks that kli, or he rolls over and he hurts the person that went to sleep next to him after he was already asleep, then you're pater. That you're not going to be chayv. So even though Adam u'liolam, apparently there are limits on Adam u'liolam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Ma'acholos Asuros, that a guy who touches Yayin Shal Yisrael, since he has Kavana Lahazik and Ta'asr, your wine, he's going to have to pay for your wine. So the Beis Yosef says, sounds from the Rambam, that if the guy touches your wine without any Kavana Lahazik, that he has no, then he's not going to have to pay. That his Chiv payment is only if he's doing it on purpose because he knows this is going to ruin your wine. So asks the Beis Yosef, why? Why wouldn't he have to pay even if it's not Kavana Lahazik? Adam Uliyolam, Bein Shogeg, Bein Mezid. He's an Adam, right? He's a person, so you should be chayiv even if he does it b'shogeg. So the Beis Yosef suggests that when we say that you're chayiv for damage, bein shogeg bein mezid, it has to be something that's universally understood to be damage. But Goyim would not view touching wine, they're touching your wine, shaking up your bottle of wine, to be damaged in any way. The wine is physically just as good as it was before. So if it's not universally understood to be damaged, then we wouldn't apply this din of Adam u'liolam. There is an interesting discussion in Poskim. What about a shikr? What if a person is totally drunk? So the Yamshel Shlomo over here in Baba Kama writes that a shikr, even though he's more than shikruso shalot, where he's totally lost his mind, it's pashut, he says that he's chayiv, because Adam u'liolam, even if he's sleeping, bein ones, bein ratzon, so it makes no difference how much he drank. And says the Yamshel Shlomo, you might tell me, what about if it's Purim where he's a chiv to drink? Meaning, why is he going to be chayiv? Because who told him to drink? Who told the guy to get drunk? Of course, he can get drunk, he can act irresponsibly. What about on Purim where he's a chiv to drink? He says, no one says that you should get that drunk, that you start damaging things, that you should get drunk to the point, adelo yadav, and not to the point where you're destroying other people's things. There's a Chuvas HaBach in Simon Samach Beis where he talks about Reuven was at a Sudas Chasan Vekala, and he threw a glass against the wall as a sign of simcha. I don't know, that was a way of celebrating. They drink the wine and then they chuck the glass against the wall, and he blinded someone, knocked out someone's eye. So he wanted to say that he should be patur because, you know, he was drinking. He's not, that was just the way they were celebrating. So the Bach says that he's chayiv in that case, which is an interesting discussion, because the Shulchan Aruch paskins that when you damage in the context of Purim celebrations or in the context of wedding celebrations, Shulchan Aruch actually paskins that you're patur from paying, generally speaking, if it's mitoch the simcha. It's based on the Tosfos Masecha Sukkah. Tosfos Masecha Sukkah says that the Gemara says on the last day, the Mishnah says over there that on Hoshana Rabbah, miyad tinoko shomtin l'levein va'uchlin esrogehen. And Rashi understands that they would take away the esrogim from the children and eat the children's esrogim. Don't they have to pay for that? They're damaging the children. They're stealing the children's struggle. Tos says, no, it's done mitoch simcha. It's part of the expression of simcha. Tos says, just like when people are jousting on horses at chasanas and they damage each other's, they rip each other's clothing and hurt each other's horses, you don't have to pay for that. It's part of the simcha. It's understood that that's part of the simcha. So that's what the Rama writes in two places in Hilchos Purim, that if you damage while you're celebrating Purim, so that you don't have to pay for that. It's understood that it's part of the celebration. So the Bach is somewhat of a chiddush, that he says that you don't, that you do have to pay when you throw the glass against the wall and you knock out somebody's eye. When do we say that another mamazik is always going to be chayv? When do we say, nah, that's what Purim is, that's what chasana is, that you could damage? It's a thin line. You have to figure out exactly where that line is. Okay, says the Gemara, Katani Simeis Ein Chaveru Dumi Deshibir Eskelem. It's interesting. The Gemara said, the Mishnah said Adam u'liolam, then it gives two very precise examples, like two very detailed examples, that you knock out a person's eye and you break his kelim. Of all examples of Adam damaging, why those two? So we're trying to draw a comparison. Just like when you break kelim, you don't pay for dalad dvarim, you only pay for nezek. So too, when you blind somebody, you only pay for the nezek, you don't pay for dalad dvarim. Frek the Gemara though, this idea that Adam u'liolam, that he's chayiv, whether it's shogeg or mezid, minani mili. How do I know that? that a person is going to be chayiv for nezek even when it's done b'shogeg. Amar Chizkiya v'chein tana debei Chizkiya amar kra petza tachas potza l'chayvo ala shogeg kemezid v'ala ones keratzon. That you're chayiv for shogeg the same way you'd be chayiv for mezid, you're chayiv for damage done by ones the same way you'd be chayiv for damage that was done b'ratzon. Tosos raises the question in Maseches Yevamos and Daf Nun Gimel, why does the Tan have to say that you're chayiv not only on mezid, you're also chayiv on ratzon? Meaning you're chayiv on shogeg mezid and known as kir ratzon. What's the difference between mezid and ratzon? Don't they mean the same thing, that you did it on purpose? So the Rosh Hash suggests that there's a chiluk, that a mazik b'mezid means that he has kavana lahazik. As opposed to mazik b'ratzon, it doesn't mean that he has kavana lahazik, it means that he wanted to do the act that he was doing, even though that act mimela led to hezek. Like a person was chopping down wood because he needed that wood. It happened to be that it was someone else's tree that he was chopping down. So it was, but it wasn't that he was trying to damage his friend. He needed wood. He wanted for himself. He needed that firewood. But when you talk about mezid, it means that it's kavanasa lahazik. So that's the difference between mezid and ratzon. So says Gemara, haimi bayile. But don't we already need that drasha? Tell me, litein tsar b'makom. B'makom nezek, to teach me that you paid tsar even b'makom nezek, that you paid tsar even if you've already paid the nezek payment. Imkein lichtov krav petza bipetza, my tachas petza, shema mina tarti. So we're able to make two separate drashos. The reason machlokas rishonim, even though we say adam will diolim, so we already saw one exception. We saw that the Yerushalmi holds that if you went to sleep and then someone else put something down next to you after you're already sleeping, then all of a sudden we don't say adam will diolim, then you're not going to have to pay. So this is machlokas rishonim. If a person is mazik chaveiro ba'ones gomur, if it's completely out of your control, so do we then say, even though we say over here ala ones karatzon, there's ones and then there's ones. You know, what if it's really an ones gomur? Shita satosos and bamitzia daf pei beis is that if it's an ones gomor, if a person is complete ones, it's pater. The Tosos of later on, Chav Zayin of tomorrow's daf is going to suggest that even ones she'enu gomor, that's Kein Geneva, is going to be pater from Adam and Mazik. Tosos proves it from that Yerushalmi. That Yerushalmi is the proof that the guy went to sleep, there's nothing next to him, so you see it's ones gomor. The Ramban, however, holds that even if you're Mazik ba ones gomor, you're chayiv l'shalim. And it's only by sleeping that we pater when someone else comes and puts something there, because why would that be different? Because over there the second guy was poshea. But what if it's an onus gomer from your perspective, but the nizik wasn't poshea? He didn't do anything wrong. It was something that you had no control over. It was an onus gomer. So the Ramban says, then you're still going to be chayiv. So that's a fundamental machlokas between Tosfos and the Ramban. Do we look at it mitzad the mazik, or do we look at it mitzad the nizik? Why is it that the Yerushalmi says, after I'm sleeping, someone put something down there, that I'm going to be pater? Is it because the nizik was poshea? That's how the Ramban understands. Was it because for me, it's for the mazik, it's a total onus? That's the way Tosfos understands. That's a fundamental machlokas rishonim. That comes up in halacha a lot, that machlokas rishonim. Okay, says the Gemara now. Amar Rabba. The Gemara is going to give four different cases of a rock falling out of your lap and doing damage. Amar Rabba, he said, Evan Munachas Labachiko, a guy has a rock sitting in his lap, Velo Hikirban, he didn't realize that he had a rock sitting in his lap, Va'amad, and he stands up, V'nafla, and the rock falls down. And so, and it does something, it damages. So there are five different areas of halacha that we have to discuss whether this rock might do something. L'inyan Nizakin, when it comes to damage that was done by that rock, Chayiv, you have to pay for that. Why? Because Adamu Adiolam, like we said, a person always has to pay for anything that he does. Then in Arba Dvarim, when it comes to the Arba Dvarim, when it comes to Tzah, Ripoy, Sheves, Boshes, all that, Pater. He's going to be Pater because it was by accident. You don't pay for Arba Dvarim when it was done by accident. Linyan Shabbos, what if he violated Shabbos by being motzi that rock, Mirushus HaYachad, Rishus HaRabim, just by standing up? He was sitting on the edge of Rishus HaYachad and he stood up and now the rock lands in Rishus HaRabim. Well, Melechus Machsheves Asra Torah. The Torah only asks for Melechus Machsheves, and this was not a Melechus Machsheves. The person had no intent to do any damage with this. L'inyan galus, what if he killed someone with that rock? Potter. He's going to be Potter when it comes to Galus, because by Galus it says Maka Nefesh Peshkaga. It's not even called Shkaga because you didn't have a Yediyah Meikara. Shkaga is that you initially knew and then something happened that was that you didn't intend to happen. But over here, you don't. It's not even that. So you wouldn't even be Chayav Galus. Linyan Eved, let's say that rock knocked out the tooth or the eye of your Eved. Normally you knock out the tooth or the eye of your Eved, the Eved goes free. So that Plukted Rav Shimon Gamliel Rabbanan. That's subject to Machlokas, Rav Shimon Gamliel on the Rabbanan. Detanya, Haresha Yerabo Rofe. Let's say the owner of the Eved is a doctor. V'amar lo k'chol einai. He says, can you apply an eye ointment to me? The Eved asks for some refuah in his eye. V'sima, and the doctor accidentally blinds the eye. Or chator li shinai, v'pila. He says, do me a favor, fill my cavity or something, or do something, do some dental work on me. And he accidentally knocks out his tooth. Sichek ba'adam v'yatzal cheres. The Eved can say, all right, that was a great plan. I got you to work on my eye, to work on my tooth, and now you knocked it out, so I am free right now. No, it has to be kavana. So that's where you see, this is not, if a guy stands up with the rock in his lap, there's no kavana to knock out the eye, and you see, this is a machlokas tanan. Rav Shmuel Gamliel says, without kavana to knock out the eye or the tooth, the Eved does not go free, whereas the Tanakama says that the Eved does go free, even if that was not your intention. Now, the Gemara discusses five different halachas over here. Nezikin, Dal Dvarim, Shabbos, Galus, Eved. Are there more halachas that maybe could have been discussed that the Gemara doesn't discuss over here? So the Rishonim raised the following issue. What if a person, it wasn't a stone that was in his lap? The Rash writes in Torah Sabayis, Bayis Alef, Shar Alef, Osir Alef, that what if you have a case where there was a knife, a shechita knife, in the guy's hand or in his lap, and it falls on its own and it shechts? Do you say that just like Nezikin is going to be chayiv ki'ilu, he's the one that threw it down, so too linin shechita, it's as if he himself had done the shechita, and therefore the shechita is kasher? Or maybe we're mechalik between Nezikin and shechita, and you can't be machshir the shechita unless he actually did it b'kavana, not when it falls on its own. The Rashba's conclusion is that it's mistaver, that we're not going to be mechalik between Nezikin and shechita, and just like linin Nezikin, he's chayiv ben Zakov, because it's as if he himself did it, so too by shechita, it's considered shechita Koach ben Das, and his shechita is going to be kosher. That's the shita of the Rashba. The Ra'ah says, no, you can't compare shechita to Nezikin. By Nezikin, you're chayiv because you're mechayiv on any time you cause a nezek, even though it's not really literally your maisa. As opposed to by shechita, the Torah requires koach adam. The Torah requires that it be your maisa. If it happens to fall out of your lap, very hard to call that your maisa, to say that a person is going to be chayiv for this. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Let's say he knew that he had the rock in his lap and he had forgotten about it. And then he stands up and it falls out of his lap. So in terms of all these things, Nizakin Chayiv. He's Chayiv in terms of Nizakin. Linyan Dal Dvarim, Pater. In terms of Dal Dvarim, he's still Pater. Linyan Galus, here's where it changes. Linyan Galus, he's Chayiv. When it comes to Galus, he's going to be Chayiv because over here, it was Shogeg. He knew about it originally. Pasuk implies that he had some sort of Yediyah, and he does have Yediyah. Linyan Shabbos Potter, he's going to be Potter in terms of Shabbos because it's still not Melechas Machsheves. Linyan Eved Plukted Rav Shimon Gamliel v'Rabbanan. And with regard to knocking out the Eved's eye or tooth, it's still the same Machlokas Rav Shimon Gamliel v'Rabbanan. A third case, Niskavin Lizrok Shtayim v'Zarek Arba. He took the rock and he intended to throw it, but he only intended to throw it two amos and he threw it four amos. So, and this is all in a Linin Nizakin Chayiv. Now for Nizikin, for sure Chayiv. That didn't change. Linin Dalad Dvarim Potter. Dalad Dvarim is still going to be Potter because he didn't intend to throw it where it landed. Linin Shabbos Melechas Machsheves Beinan. Still going to be Potter on Shabbos because it's not a Melechas Machsheves. You weren't intending to throw it Dalad Amos. Linin Galus Asher Lo Tzada Amar Chumana Prat Linaskavin Lizrok Shtayim Vizarak Dalad. It says Asher Lo Tzada, you're going to be Chayiv Galus, but over here you did intend to throw it, so you're going to be Chayiv. When it comes to Galus, Linyan Eved Plukta Rav Shimon Gamliel v'Rabbanan. When it comes to Eved, it's a machloka, same machlokas Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanan. Then a fourth case, Niskavin Lizrok Arba V'Zorik Shmona. What if you intended to throw it Dalad Amos in a Rosh Hashanah, but you ended up throwing it eight Amos in a Rosh Hashanah? Linyan Nizakin Chayiv. When it comes to Nezek, you're going to be Chayiv. Linyan Dalad Dvarim. When it comes to Tzar, Ripoy, Shev, Esboshes, that you're going to be Potter. Linyan Shabbos Ba'omer Kol Mokom Shetirza Tanuach In Ilo lo. Well, then it depends what you were thinking when you threw it the four amos. Yeah, you only intended it to go four amos. But if you were saying that I don't really care where it lands, then you're going to be chayiv, because that's considered a melechus machsheves. Unlike in the case where you intended to throw it two amos, even if you say I don't care where it lands, but your real intention was only that it should go two amos, which is not a melecha at all, you can't call that a melechus machsheves. But when you tried to throw it four amos, even though it went much further than that, but you don't care that it went further than that, then that's going to be considered a melechus machsheves. Linyan galus or shalot sada prat l'neskavim lizrok arba viz. So you're still going to be chayiv in eved plug to the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel for Rabbanan. When it comes to the eved, it's still going to be a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanan. One or two quick points over here. When it says that you the case where you knew that the rock was in your lap and then you forgot about it, so you said you're part from the Dalet Varim. Rashi explains that even though you knew about it initially, you're not chayiv in the Dalet Varim because you forgot about it, and it's a shogeg. It's not considered that you're negligent. It's considered a shogeg. So Muke Yosef quotes from the Ramah that you can't compare this to what the Gemara said in Daf Chav Gimel, that according to the Shita, that Isha Mishum Chitza, Yechayiv and Dal Dvarim, if the fire spreads with the Ruach Metziah and damages, even though that was Bishogeg, because in that case, where the case of the Evan Munachas Pechiko, and you recognize it, you know about it, and you forget about it, and it damages, there's no Pshia at all, because you could have been careful that it shouldn't fall and damage. So it's not a Pshia at the time that you put the rock in your lap, because at that time you were still planning on being careful. When you later forgot afterwards and then you stood up, that's not a pshia, that's an ones when you stood up and you had forgotten about it. So you're potter from the Dalet Dvarim. As opposed to by an eish, you're posheya because you didn't guard the fire in the first place that it shouldn't spread Baruch Mitzuya. So since you're posheya, meikara over there, that's why you're going to be chayiv in Dalet Dvarim. So the Mukhi Yosef just points out, you could bring a raya from this chilik of the Ramah that if a person doesn't daven on time because he thought that he's going to have plenty of time to daven later when he's finished doing whatever he's doing, and then later he forgets to daven, that's not considered a pshia, that's called an ones. That's exactly our case. The guy puts a rock, I mean, it's not about davening, but if the guy puts a rock in his lap, we say, okay, that's reasonable, you're allowed to put a rock in your lap, you'll remember it later, but then later he forgets about it, and then it falls out and does damage, we say, oh, it's ones that it fell into the daven. What was it doing there in the first place? Oh, he was planning on watching it in the first place. Same over here, a guy doesn't daven because he thinks, I'm going to have plenty of time later, and then it turns out he doesn't have time later, that's an ones, and therefore it's subject, he's able to make a tashlumen, as opposed to by a pshia, where he would not be able to daven a tefillas tashlumen. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, Elisha will pick up from there tomorrow.